Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Ah! You know what?
See you do it, Morales.
It's a minute and a half of Morales. That's agony.
Yeah, let's see you do it, Morales. 26 yeah. Straight hours.
No, we love Chris. We love Chris. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. We are glad you are out there. And you seriously, we thank you for keeping us sane during this whole process. We are still in quarantine. We want to say, as always, thank you to, and there, a lot of them on the road, different points during the day. Thanks to the doctors and the nurses and the people that are working at grocery stores and the people who are dropping off food to other people. I mean, all those people are out there and they're doing unbelievable work to help keep the rest of us healthy, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, can't say thank you enough, really. We're just doing a show to divert people, but you guys are doing the real work.
Voicemail line, as always, is open, 530-ESPN-710. You can leave us a voicemail. You can also call 877-710-ESPN. And if you want to tweet us, it's hashtag Ask Mason and Ireland. We got a really cool show coming up today, John.
Yeah, for the week has actually been pretty good.
Been great. Been great.
Yeah, we're in the first hour. Brian Kamenetsky is going to jump on here, but more importantly, his son Ethan.
Ethan,
who's a second grader, is going to jump on. So we're going to play "Are You Smarter Than a Second Grader?" against Ethan. Brian, Mason, and I are going to play against him. And we've got a senior shout out today. We've got 5 o'clock fast track. We got a guy who's in the new Top Gun movie. We got lots of stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, you and Lindsay are the two biggest baseball fans at the station.
Yes.
So I sent you guys, early this morning when I'm up and you guys aren't.
Yeah. I saw it about 9:30.
I sent you guys.
I'm usually up pretty early.
Are you up like 4 or 5 o'clock?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes still can't sleep from the night before, but usually get up at like 5 or 6.
All right, so the two proposals were, the first one was Tom Perducci, a 43-game baseball season.
Yeah.
In other words, kind of facing the music on this pandemic, saying that we can't get anything going anytime soon. But basically, it would keep you in your own stadium playing, not necessarily with fans, but it would keep you in your own park. The Dodgers, for example, would play 26 of their 43 games in California. What did you guys think of that idea? Feasible or not feasible?
Seems feasible. I mean, it seems realistic. We're not going to see a 100-game season. Let's just be honest. You know, we're going to see a much shorter season. And 43 games could be about right. I mean, that may be all we get. And realistically, you know, that is, I mean, I just want to say this for Dodger fans, that's disadvantaged Dodgers.
Okay, here's that. Let me give you a little more details on it. It would be teams would play, let's use the Dodgers for an example. They'd play division rivals in a home and home series, 7 games versus each, including 1 doubleheader. So for the Dodgers, that would mean games against the Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, those kind of teams. Then, on top of that, you would play the other league's geographical rival. So, for example, the Angels would play against the American League West. 3-game series against opponents in a like division. So that gives you 43 games. That would be like another
now,
example.
Now, would that mean the Dodgers would play the Angels, or are they still separating leagues?
No, the Dodgers would play the Angels. I'll give you a different example.
Okay.
Take the Yankees.
Yep.
They'd play 29 of their 43 close to Yankee Stadium.
Right.
The Mets, Phillies, Red Sox, Orioles, and Nationals. So they conceivably, Mace, could take trains or buses to 29 of those 43 games.
Yes.
The ones that weren't at home. And same thing with the Dodgers. They could obviously, for the games that weren't at Dodger Stadium, they could drive to Angel Stadium. They could drive to Petco Park. If they were going to play 3 games, they could drive to San Francisco. So it's basically taken, for the most part,
Oakland.
Taken teams out of the air, keeping it easier for them to quarantine. Lindsay, what do you think of the 43-game geographic Verducci plan?
Okay, between that one and the other one that you've not yet disclosed.
Yeah, we'll get the other one in a second.
I don't know. I feel like they're both really unrealistic. I don't know. To me, this one just seems like logistically it's a lot more work.
Wait a minute. No, I think it's a lot less work.
Well, what she's saying, though, Mace, is it's a lot more work compared to this one, the Bob Nightingale plan.
Oh, the Bob Nightingale plan.
Okay,
yeah,
so
the Bob
Verducci's
plan, I think, is more realistic.
Yeah. Now, here's Nightingale's plan, and we've talked about kind of versions of this, but never this specific. Bob, who writes for USA Today, I think he was on with Sedano today, he says baseball is considering realignment for just this season. They would play all the games at spring training parks in Arizona and Florida.
Right.
So wherever you have spring training, that's where you would go. The Dodgers and Angels would be in the same division along with the Indians, Reds, and White Sox because those three teams all train in Arizona.
Yeah, White Sox train at the same stadium as the Dodgers.
So this would, again, help you stay close. All those parks in Arizona and Florida's a little more spread out, but all those parks in Arizona are within an hour's drive. In Florida, you got to kind of bounce around a little bit, like summer in Sarasota and summer in Fort Myers, and might be two and a half hours. But the idea would be you could drive everywhere. Everybody would geographically be in the same state, and you would just throw out divisions as we know them. So, in other words, the Angels and Dodgers would not be in the divisions that we traditionally know them to be in. They would just be in divisions with teams that have spring training facilities next to them.
Yes.
Mace, what do you think of that idea?
I think that's the realistic plan. The realistic plan is to go to your region where you have spring training and break that into divisions. That makes the most sense, or at least seems like the most feasible. Now, the one thing Nightingale doesn't say is how many games they might consider playing, but I guess that's based on when they can actually start.
No, he does. It ended up being, so far, according to this plan, 192-game season.
Well, wait a minute.
182 games, I'm sorry.
No, but wait a minute. That 182 total, how many would each team play?
It would still be 182 games.
No, well, they never play 182. They play 162 normally.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Normally they play 162, but I don't see how.
162 then. Sorry.
I have no idea how you do that.
So he says that there would be like four doubleheaders a week. Like the story gets into it. Like mathematically,
I don't think you could do that because half of the teams would be in the other state. So I don't know how you get to 162.
Well, so what it says is, let me pull it up here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story right now. I don't see a number of games.
Baseball could still play 12 games apiece against their new divisional opponents, 6 games apiece against the teams in the other state. So he is talking about flying. There would be at least one doubleheader at night when teams are scheduled to play. The DH would be universally implemented. There could still be division winners and wild card winners, or a postseason tournament with all 30 teams. So he doesn't sound like he's married to anything. And he talked to Tony La Russa for this story.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that La Russa basically said, there's so many workable possibilities. Why give up on any alternative until it's clear it won't work? So La Russa's attitude is, let's explore all options until you tell me I can't do it.
Right.
Which is a really good way of looking at this, I think.
And I think you got to realistically, we try to balance the hope and the fear here. We're really hopeful about all these plans, and it is my hope and belief that we will see a Major League Baseball season. We will see the NBA playoffs. We will see some form of college and professional football. Those are my hopes, and I think they're going to do whatever they can to get that done. But realistically now, we've just issued today as a stay-at-home order for the state of California through May the 15th. So we are at least another month in this position. Until you have California clear, until you have New York clear, until you have the states where it's sort of rising clear, it's going to be difficult to start something. I can't imagine that anything can really happen, and I think I'm being optimistic, by July the 1st. Can you?
I can. Yeah. Okay, so let's say the stay-at-home order, you say May 15th, which is actually more than a month. That's about 35 days from now.
Yeah.
So let's say they lift it on May 15th, and that the numbers continue, the curve continues to trend down, because it's been trending down for the past few days. Now, everybody's telling us be prepared for it to go back up, that some doctors are saying the worst is yet to come. But let's say it goes the other way. Let's say that it continues kind of at the pace that it is now.
Yes.
You get the clear from the stay at home on May 15th. You get the ability, like Mace, you and I both agree, this is going to end at some point. We just don't know when.
It's definitely going to end at some point.
So, let's say May 15th, we start getting back to going to stores and opening restaurants. We may still have to be practicing social distancing. But that some things start to turn. I think that's when they can start committing to plans. They can choose the Verducci plan or the Nightingale plan or the Scott Boras plan. And they can say, all right, let's do this plan in 3 weeks. Well, that would be the end of the first week in June. So, yeah, I could see it being before July. Now, is it going to be? I don't know. But, yeah, somebody's got to go first. Either the NBA is going to go or Major League Baseball is going to go. But I'm guessing it'll be one of these teams that already is missing games, that's already losing a season. Football can just delay. College football and pro football can just delay. But either hockey, baseball, or basketball, somebody has to go first. And could I see them going in June? Yeah.
You're going to have to. See, like Arizona's got, we're talking about this plan right now. Arizona has got they've done a really good job. They have cases, but very, very low. They're not one of the hotspot states. Florida, where they want to play the Grapefruit League part of this, is like the worst. That's like the hotspot right now.
Yeah, well, they paid the least attention to the stay-at-home order of any
right.
state.
They did a terrible job, and so Florida's going to be really tough. Their curve, because we think about, all right, so New York is flattening the curve. The rest of the country, every region, and this is sort of what Dr. Anthony Fauci has been saying, every region is going to have sort of its own curve. So New York, it seems like the curve is bending. California, credit Gavin Newsom and Mayor Garcetti and the leaders in California. I think California's done a really, really good job, because per capita, this is a big state. And relatively speaking, this could have been New York, and it's not. So, but Florida's a hot spot now. Texas is a hot spot now. Some of the places that are just on the rise, their curve isn't going to flatten for a while. So regionally, I think it's going to be really complicated, and I think things will open up at a different pace in each region or each state of the country. So, I mean, it's complicated as hell.
Well, then maybe you go back to the plan we were talking about at the beginning of the week, where everybody goes to Arizona.
Arizona's done a really good job. Arizona has only 3,000 cases reported. Compared to Florida, which is out of control now. So maybe you go all to Arizona. I think that ultimately all of these sports are going to need to go to a centralized biosphere, the bubble plan, I think.
Which is fine. Let's go.
Yeah, which is totally fine. Because college football is going to be very, very tricky. I've got no idea what's going to happen with that. NFL could very well be in a bubble plan. You know, there are some states where there are big stadiums where it's not as where the cases are lighter, like Oklahoma and Kansas and Nebraska, where there are many, many fewer cases, where you could set up sort of central locations in big college football stadiums there. I mean, there's going to be a way to do it, but it's going to be weird. And all of these plans are fantastic, but I don't think anybody really knows what it's going to look like. I'm sure there are contingency cases with MLB and NFL and NBA and NHL and MLS. I know those contingency plans are out there, but I think it's all based on when we can actually start. And if we've got to stay at home all the way to May 15th in California, we've got as many teams, if not more, than of all those sports than any state in the country. We know May 15th is the date that we may be allowed to come out of our houses, still practice social distancing, but actually come out of our houses. I mean, this is going to take some time. And my fear is that, and Fauci was talking about this, is that we pull out, that we stop all this stuff too soon and we wind up with another flare up. Like they've been saying, the Spanish flu in 1918, the first part of the Spanish flu was terrible, but it was the second wave that was the really bad one. So I think people are going to be exceptionally careful even once we get through this first one. So I think if we could start something July the 1st, I would be thrilled. I would be thrilled if we can start something July 1.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on June yet.
Okay.
I mean, let's see. I think in a month from now we may have more clear answers. But
yeah.
I know they're meeting every day about when they can get back and how they can do it.
Yep.
So I think they're going to be ready to execute a plan the minute they get the end of the stay at homes.
No question.
That's when they can move.
All right. Are we smarter than a second grader? It's a big question. Sometimes I wonder. Brian Kamenetsky is going to join us, and he is just bored out of his mind. And then the big star in the family, yeah, there's Andy, and yeah, there's Brian, but the real star of the family, the one who, that second generation star is Ethan Kamenetsky.
Yeah, like Michael Thompson was a good NBA player. Klay Thompson's potentially a Hall of Famer.
Ethan is the Klay Thompson of that
family.
There you
go.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party, Hoedown on Your Phone?
He will join us coming up, too, and we'll find out if we are smarter than a second grader. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Woo woo!
Yeah! As Brian Kamenetsky just asked us, how's your pandemic going? It's an interesting question. Mason, Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky's here, Lindsay's here, Funch is here, the gang is all here. Brian, how are you, man?
I'm good. Really, keeping busy, a lot going on, many places to go, things to do. Yeah, it's very exciting. Did you guys see all the big horse updates that we're doing on ESPN now to get ready for Sunday's
beginning? No, what are the horse updates?
They have a whole section on the .com that people can go to for their horse updates, for the big horse tournament that starts on Sunday.
Oh, the horse tournament. Yeah. That's what I thought you meant, ponies, horses.
No. ESPN is your official home for all of your horse news.
So, what's the latest?
Well, it's a lot of odds, who's going to win. I did notice that both the women that are competing have longer odds to win, which I thought was kind of sexy. There's a lot going on with horse, guys. Probably too much to get in one segment.
There's a lot of value on Tamika Catching. She's 15-1.
And I saw Allie Quigley was hitting shots from while sitting down using the backboard. I feel like these are good investments for people who feel like they really got to get their gambling Jones taken care of.
Ireland's got mythical money on Zach LaVine in this thing.
I got 5-1 odds on him, Brian. I think that's pretty decent.
What are the rules? It's not a dunk contest.
No, you cannot dunk.
No dunking.
See, I would pick a more traditional shooter than
that's Zach why
would.
Trae Young is
Trae Young's
favorite.
The favorite, but people like Steph aren't in it. Chris Paul's in it.
Yeah, he'd be good. Chris Paul. Chris Paul has never thrown a game of horse in his life. He sits there and he's played every angle, every this. He knows all the little super annoying trick shots that you can do. Because that's just what he is. He's the most hyper competitive guy out there. That's why Kobe loved him so much. I think Chris Paul's a good bet. Like I said, I saw Allie Quigley hit a shot from her butt that was impressive. I don't know if Trae Young is the right way to go here.
You know what I call this horse thing? Something
filler?
To do. Something to do.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. Did either of you read Bill Plotsky's column in the LA Times this week about Plotsky has basically waved the white flag?
Oh yeah, he's given up.
Yeah, he says that sports are done. for 2020.
Like, I was going to say, like, forever? I hope
not. For 2020. He says, just shut all sports down for the rest of the year. And he says, if you read between the lines what all the medical professionals are saying, that's where it's all pointing anyway. Does anybody, either of you believe that? I mean, I don't. I can't believe we're not going to have any athletic competitions. I mean, we're sitting here in April. It's April 10th. No athletic competition. I mean, Dana White wanted to put on an IFC event this weekend, and he got shut down by Disney. But somebody is going to try something.
Is there a chance that there's no sports for the rest of the year? I guess there's a chance, but I have to find some hope here. I mean, by the way, what is Bill trying to do? Talk himself out of a job? What does Bill do if there's no sports for the rest of the year?
If not yourself, Bill, think of the rest of us.
Yeah.
Some of us haven't been living on that columnist money from the LA Times for a few years.
Exactly.
We've got a family to feed.
But no, I think there's going to be something because I'll tell you, one thing we've learned in the course of American history is that sports has led the way out of great problems, whether it be World War I or the Great Depression or World War II. I mean, sports has been a salvation and a guiding force in our culture. And I think sports is going to be even more important here. I think sports is going to lead us out of this thing. It is going to put us in a traditional, healthy state of mind, because once I see that first pitch, or once I see that first three-pointer, or once I see that first hockey goal, once I see that happen, it's going to change my view of the world. It's going to change everybody's view of the world. In a lot of ways, this started in the NBA with Rudy Gobert. We saw sports get shut down. That was really the night that started to shut down the country. I think that sports is going to play an important role in restarting us to the post-COVID-19 era.
I hope so. I think the biggest thing you have to do is differentiate between sports and sports with fans in attendance, because I think those two things are different, and they're going to be like, I really could be a year 20, you know, until we see 50,000 people packed into a stadium,
yes,
both for health reasons and because I'm not sure how excited people are going to be to do that. Like, I think they're, because it seems like, for, you know, none of us are epidemiologists, but there is a chance that, you know, in the fall, it could come back a little bit. You know, we're not going to eliminate COVID-19 until there's a vaccine. And, you know, and so it'll always sort of be there in one way or another. People aren't necessarily going to want to pack into a stadium under those circumstances. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can't have competition. You can't, you know, figure out ways for sports to be staged. It's going to look different, but I'm probably as more pessimistic than most on some of these things, but I'm not willing to say that we're not going to see sports at all for another year. I just think sports without people in the stands is something we probably won't see for a while, but that's okay. That's fine. I'm willing to go halfway here. Give me the games. Give me something.
Yeah, and I think that's how it's going to play out. I think we're going to get games with no fans, and then we'll ease back into it. And, you know, maybe when we all start going to the movies, it'll be social distancing at the movies where, you know, like, you can buy two seats for, you know, you and your wife, but you have three seats in between you. Maybe restaurants do that, and maybe we ease back into it. But I'm not as pessimistic as Blatchky is. I think he's spreading doom and gloom unnecessarily with this column.
And by the way, the other thing is, we talk about whether sports will be open to fans, and I don't think anybody realistically believes that when sports restarts, fans are going to be there. But even once fans are allowed, I mean, there's some, yesterday there was a Seton Hall survey. Chris Morales tweeted that it had a lot of landline participants, so maybe it's not valid. But this one is from Performance Research and Full Circle Research Company. 44% of respondents, hey, it's somebody at the Ring doorbell, 44% of respondents said they will attend fewer large public events once everything is cleared by the CDC, and 47% of Americans agree that the idea of going to a major public event will scare them for a very long time. You know, just because things open doesn't mean they're going to be full.
Yeah, but
well,
think about this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but think about this, guys. We always talk about how every time there's a Lakers parade, you see thousands and thousands of faces that we don't see at the games.
Yes.
Because they can't necessarily afford to go to the games. If the normal Laker and Clipper fans and Kings fans and Dodger fans decide they don't want to come back, if they're part of that Seton Hall survey that they just don't want to, it only takes, you know, for a basketball game, 19,000 fans to fill an arena. We live in a city with 15 million people. It's going to be a supply and demand issue. People will come. It's just a matter of finding the right people to come.
Yeah, and may be an opportunity for people to take advantage of, 65-year-old rich white guy who is, that's one of the most common archetypes of the Los Angeles.
Is that what you call John? Steve?
Yeah, 65-year-old white guy, yeah.
not that far from it, Brian.
That's one of the key demos for Laker games. Maybe those guys don't go, but they sell their tickets, and some people get to go that normally don't get to go to Laker games. So you're right. It could be just different people.
Well, it's also, too, I think there's, when the CDC gets around, the infrastructure is going to be different. What kind of world, we're going to live in a world maybe where you'll feel safer because they're going to be temperature checks or, you saw the news today, they're Google and Apple are coming up with an app to help, kind of do the contact tracing and all that kind of stuff that could become important with testing. I don't know how receptive America is going to be to that kind of stuff, but if there's an infrastructure that helps people feel safer when they do these things.
Well, Brian, think about this.
Maybe that makes a difference, too.
Think about this. Anybody who's had the virus and has been through it is completely free to go to games. And Dr. Fauci's talked about this herd immunity, that there may come a time where, 60 to 65% of the city would have been through it, and then we can get back to normal because they're unlikely to get it again. That's another way you get people to show up, the people that have already been through it.
There's also the hope that people have, more people may have had it than realize, because so many people can go through it without symptoms.
That's the antibodies test that everybody's talking about. That if we can figure out if people have already had it and been through it, that they can help other people. So there's ways to do stuff.
So, the biggest star, sure, there's Andy Kamenetsky, right? There's Brian Kamenetsky.
I mean, technically speaking.
But what really excites us is Ethan Kamenetsky. Who is,
has all this fame gone to Ethan's head yet, Brian? Has he started to refuse to eat the dinner you and your wife prepare for him and refuse to do the dishes and stuff? Is that set in yet?
Let me ask you this. Is it normal for children to demand that their parents not make eye contact with them?
No, that would not be normal.
Then it has set in. It has definitely gone to his head.
Child star syndrome has started to affect your son.
He said, I told him that you guys would be calling again today, and he said, I think I'm going to have to start getting paid.
I like that. I thought you were going to say, I think
smart
you said he had a bigger gig on the other line.
No, the boys know. No, I mean, what, with Fred?
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, with Fred. Lunchtime with Fred.
Right. He's playing both sides against the other. No, he's not an idiot, that one. He wants to get paid.
So we are going to play Are You Smarter Than a Second Grader coming up. Also, by the way, top of the hour, Jay Ellis is going to be with us. He's one of the stars of Insecure, the Issa Rae show, and also is in Top Gun Maverick, which was supposed to be coming out in May, I think, and is now coming out at Christmas. So Jay Ellis will give us a sneak preview of Top Gun 2. And this portion of the show brought to you by Lyman Healthcare, changing healthcare one person at a time. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. And unlike Bill Plachke, we are optimistic around here. We're the anti-Plachkes. Mason, Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky's here, Lindsay's here, Funch is here. We're doing some radio and hope We are helping you a little bit to get through your day. The biggest star in the Kamenetsky family, the rising star, is Ethan Kamenetsky. And we welcome him to the show right now.
Ethan, here we go. Ethan, they're ready for you. I'll hold this for you.
Ethan, ready? How you doing?
Go talk.
Good.
What's the latest?
I've been doing nothing.
Yep, I know how you feel, man.
Yep, we're all in the same boat.
Same.
Ethan. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ethan, are you ready to play? Are you smarter than a second grader against Steve and I?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right.
First, so how's this work, Lindsay?
Hang on. Let Funch hit the intro music, guys. Okay. Relax. Everyone hold off.
Big budget open there. That was excellent, Ethan. You did your
job.
That
was great, Ethan. Yeah. You nailed it. You nailed it.
Thank you.
All right. So, Lindsay, how's this going to work?
So here's how this is going to work. I will read the question, and then as soon as you think you know the answer, just shout out your name. So, Ethan, you'll say Ethan. John will say John. Steve will say Steve.
Well, we're kind of jerks if we win, aren't we?
I don't know.
Hey, don't ruin the bits. Read your note.
All right.
I don't know. I think that Ethan is probably smarter than you guys on some of these questions. And I think he kind of agrees, don't you, Ethan?
I don't know.
Okay. Way to be confident. All right. So here we go. Here's the first one. Start off with a couple of math questions.
Okay.
The cooking club baked 685 brownies for the cake sale. There were 264 brownies left after the cake sale. How many brownies were sold?
Mason.
Yes,
Mason. 421.
That is correct.
Yes.
Mason gets the first one.
Ethan, were you even on the... Do you have something to write with and something to write on, Ethan?
Yes.
Okay.
But I forgot the question.
Oh,
see, that hurts.
Even while she said it, you forgot it?
No, after a few seconds, I'm not good at remembering stuff.
Oh, okay.
That may hurt you in this game. We'll see.
We'll go with some easier ones or some
Okay.
These ones are a little bit shorter to remember. Okay.
Let Ethan win a little bit here.
What is the name of the major alliance between America and its allies in Europe?
Mason?
NATO.
That is correct.
Oh, I was about to say it.
Yeah, you knew that.
You had to buzz in as
Ethan,
buzz
did
in
you
as
know
soon
it?
As possible.
Yes, I knew it.
Oh, I should have let you have
There is someone in this game being an a-hole. I'll leave it to the audience to figure out who.
Ethan, you were so close.
We never care about actually winning these games.
No, never.
We should let Ethan get a couple.
Gee, you think?
Yeah.
I think you should, you know, we're just...
Who could possibly have not been doing that so far? Gee,
we should level the playing field just a tiny bit, you know. These also on more of a delay than you guys, so just remember that.
Okay,
next one. Which U.S. state is the biggest by size?
Ethan.
Yes, Ethan?
Texas. Alaska.
No. Is that your final answer?
Which
Alaska.
One, Ethan?
Okay, that is correct.
Yes.
There you go. Ethan's on the board.
All right. Next question. What is the biggest country in the world by size?
Ethan.
Oh, Ethan.
Russia.
Man, I didn't even give the options yet. 2 for 2.
You're smart, Ethan.
Okay.
On the contrary, which is the smallest country in the world by size?
Ethan? Does Vatican City count?
Yes, it sure does.
It
That's
does
the
count,
correct
absolutely.
Answer.
It does count.
You know
Not
that?
Only does it count, it's the correct answer. How did you know that?
Because I just know.
Okay. That's the best reason of all.
That one's a little, I'm impressed by that
is
one.
Is Ethan winning now?
Yeah, he's
Ethan
ahead.
Is.
He's
it's
ahead 3-2.
Yep, 3-2. All right. So, this one is another word problem. So I don't know if you want to write it down, Ethan. There were 18 girls and 15 boys on the baseball team. 7 more girls joined the team. 4 boys quit the team. How many children were left on the baseball team then?
Mason.
Yes.
36.
What an idiot.
That's correct. And now you guys are tied.
Yes.
This is intense.
Oh, Ethan, this is close.
All right, let's see here. Let's go with a...
Lindsay, just tell me when you get to the last one, okay?
Okay. And I mean, it's tied 3-3. I think that this we could do this one for all the marbles. Are you
is this for all the marbles?
With another word problem, Ethan?
For all the marbles,
Ethan. Okay.
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 There are 18 sailboats and 6 speedboats at the lake. 10 people rented boats for the afternoon. How many boats were not rented?
John.
John?
14.
That is correct. John wins it all.
Did you
Ethan,
really
I'm so
just
sorry.
Beat Ethan?
Gee, I wonder where I got the idea.
You just beat Ethan?
Well,
the idea was to let Ethan win. He's
gee,
a second
really?
Grader.
Really? I never could have told by the way you won the game.
You stole this from Ethan? Ethan.
What?
Ethan, how do you feel, especially knowing that, like, you knew some of those, like, Vatican City, I didn't even know that answer. How do you feel knowing that John just came out and stole it right out from under you?
I just feel like I needed more time.
Yeah. What do you think of John that he would try to beat a second grader in a game like this? What does that say about John?
Kind of cruel.
Kind of
exactly. That's what I was thinking. Plus, Ethan, since they have these fancy schmancy machines that they're using to broadcast from, there's a little bit of a delay, so you are at a little bit of a disadvantage. So even getting 3 questions right is pretty impressive, if you ask me. Right, guys?
Absolutely. So,
hey,
Ethan, you've got
you know what,
two...
Hey, Ethan, you know what Tiger Woods says about second place, right?
No.
Second place sucks.
I don't get it.
Yeah, don't, Ethan. Now, you know, today is National Sibling Day, Ethan.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Who are your siblings, Ethan?
Grace and Ben.
Which one is the baby?
What?
Which one is the baby?
Grace.
Grace. And do you have to change Grace's diaper ever?
No.
No? Who does it more, your mom or your dad?
I don't know.
Yeah. No clue?
Nope.
Do you like Grace?
Yes.
Does she cry
now,
a lot?
What kind of question is that? Of course
oh, no,
it's
I'm just
a
curious,
sister.
Not everybody likes babies. Do you like babies, Ethan?
Yes.
You do?
Ethan, I disagree with Steve. Do you know anyone who doesn't like babies?
No.
Yeah, I don't
Have you ever
either.
Heard a Ramona baby story?
No.
Because if you hear a Ramona baby story, sometimes you just nod off.
So, Ethan, you got big plans for the weekend?
I don't know. We don't really have plans.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has plans.
The only plans is to do Easter and eat.
So, you might fly kites. Did I overhear from your dad?
Yes, we're going to fly kites.
Excellent.
And the Easter Bunny's coming to see you, Ethan?
Yeah, I want to know, is the Easter Bunny on quarantine, or is he allowed to go to people's houses and bring
Easter?
Well,
I don't think people would be outside, so I think it would be okay for the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Or maybe he secretly has a cure to the virus.
That would be
awesome.
I like your thinking. The Easter Bunny saves the day. That's beautiful. Well, listen, Ethan, it is a pleasure to get you back on the show. I'm sorry John Ireland was such a jerk and stole that win from you. I'm embarrassed for him. I agree with you. He is a very, very cruel man.
Ethan, who stole more questions from you, Steve or John?
Steve.
Yeah, I thought.
But who stole the only one that mattered?
John.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. Hey, Ethan, have a good weekend. Are you watching
Thank
Disney
you.
Plus?
No.
What are you watching on TV?
All I do is watch YouTube.
YouTube, like
yeah,
what
that's
kind
what a
of
lot
stuff?
Of people are doing.
What kind of stuff, Ethan?
videos.
I think Ethan would get along great with Alan Sliwa.
Well, listen, Ethan, hang in there, bud. We appreciate you coming on.
Okay.
Thanks, Ethan. Have a good weekend.
There's Ethan. I cannot believe you did that. Bye. I can't believe you did that.
What are you talking about?
I can't believe you stole the last one.
You stole three questions from
me. I wanted it to be a ball game, but I was going to let Ethan win at the end.
You were not.
I was absolutely going to let him win.
Lindsay, do you think Mason was going to let Ethan win?
Absolutely not.
I knew the sailboats and ski boats question.
And for the record, I went back and forth about if I should do it the buzzer way or the multiple choice way. And I was thinking multiple choice way because some of them could be, I don't know, like I didn't know the Vatican City one. That one was kind of
what you should have done. If we do this again, you should let him answer first. And then if he misses, we can compete for it.
That's a good idea. But Brian said that he did practice with them with other questions. And
Ethan represented himself fine. He actually got more right than I did.
He said that Ethan was very confident that he would beat you guys.
Yep, almost and did. Ireland screwed him over.
Or I just beat him.
Over a second grader.
I'm just watching Tiger Woods. I'm like a Kramer in Seinfeld. When he would take the karate class with the same people, the same belt as him, and beat up on the little kids. That's me.
Yep, that is you. All right, coming back next, we've got a couple of voicemails I want to listen to. Plus, at the top of the hour, Jay Ellis from the TV show Insecure and from the new Top Gun movie is going to join us. Maybe he'll give us a little sneak preview of Top Gun. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So there's a poll out there. Who was the bigger jerk versus second grader Ethan Kamenetsky? You can vote at ESPN Los Angeles. I just retweeted that. And in the early voting, for some reason, I cannot win a poll to save my life. It's 71% me being the bigger jerk, and 29%
you took
Ireland, who actually beat him.
You took more questions from him than I did.
Who won the game?
Well, I did. That's all that I cared
about.
There you
go. That's exactly right.
But you tried to embarrass him. Brian, as his father, who were you more embarrassed for, Mason or me?
If I were both of your fathers, I'd be equally embarrassed for both of you. But you know that scene in Rocky IV? Where Rocky goes to Siberia and he just takes that little picture of Drago and tucks it into the mirror, you know, as like his inspiration. Ethan just did that with a picture of you guys. So he's coming after you.
Somebody just tweeted, I haven't listened today, but it's Mason. Always Mason.
I could hear the pride that Steve welled up with when he got the NATO question right.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, just embarrassed the kid. Ridiculous.
He was just like, NATO. Yes. Nailed it.
I'm surprised Ethan.
Suck it, 7-year-old.
By the way, I would have gotten the largest country question wrong. I would have, if I had buzzed in, I would have guessed China.
Wait, you think China's bigger than, geographically bigger than Russia?
Yeah.
Look at a map.
I'd like to challenge
the
question.
Didn't you have a globe as a kid?
I'd like to challenge the question. I think China's bigger.
That's wrong.
Yeah, you can challenge all you want. Hey, here's something that's kind of weird. I follow Kurt Schilling on Twitter, and it's an interesting follow because
he's kind of cuckoo birds.
Yeah, but so this guy's having a debate where he's going back and forth with Schilling about one of the best games he ever saw was Schilling out-dueling Kevin Brown in a pitcher's duel in 1998.
Yep.
And somebody says, well, Kevin Brown and Curt Schilling are two Hall of Fame pitchers who aren't in the Hall of Fame. And they start debating Kevin Brown, and one guy says, plus, I think Kevin Brown might have been a PED guy. And another fan goes, he wasn't a PED guy. He just wasn't a big-name guy. He was great at times, but on the big stage, never seemed to get it done. And Schilling wrote, he absolutely 100% was. Kevin Brown was a PED guy?
Was he on the Paul LaDuca team?
Probably, but that doesn't
remember,
mean,
that's when they were FedExing steroids to Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, Brian, have you ever heard Kevin Brown associated with PEDs?
I haven't until then. I haven't specifically, but I assume everyone was. Like,
Yeah, well, not everyone.
Yeah, Mitchell Report named Brown as one of a group of Dodgers implicated in steroid use.
Huh. There you go. So he was in the Mitchell Report.
Yeah, so he was in the Mitchell Report.
But you have to remember, too, guys, like, just because your name didn't pop up in something doesn't mean that you weren't one of the... that you weren't somebody who was using. I mean,
right? But I've always thought that Ken Griffey Jr. never did. I mean, he missed a lot of games due to injury. He never recovered right away. Mm-hmm. He was never by any teammate. Like Canseco named names. Mace, have you in your own head? Did you ever think of Jr. as a PED guy?
No, I never did.
Me neither.
Think the same of Frank Thomas. I do not believe Frank Thomas was a PED guy.
Yeah, so, Brian, I don't think that's true that you – it sounds like you assume everybody was rather than most people weren't.
No, well, I mean, look, I had a couple conversations with people, you know, when this was a big deal. And, like, you know, they put the percentages at 50, 60, 70, whatever it might be. I don't think it was – I don't think that everybody was, but I just – there's almost nobody – that would surprise me, where I'd be like, "Oh, okay, well that's kind of
all right." Let me give you some names. Let me give you some names, and you tell me if it would surprise you. Okay.
Okay.
Cal Ripken.
Ripken, yeah, that would surprise me.
Yeah, I mean,
but he was sort of, but he was a lot. He predated a lot of that, though.
Okay.
He broke in way early for that.
But he was. I mean, it was anybody who played in the 90s. You know, mm-hmm. would pretty much be part of that. That list, like I'd be really surprised if, like, that one Angels team that won the World Series in 2002. I guess there were a couple of guys that got tied to it, but I don't think David Eckstein was on steroids
or Tim Salmon. I don't think Tim Salmon was on steroids.
Yeah,
well, I mean, okay. Look, you look for the guys like, you know, Brady Anderson or some of the dudes who
now
went
that's
from,
a guy
like,
who I would to, guess I would assume
right, 12
maybe
home
yeah
runs to 59 to like back to 17 or
yeah yeah the other guy who had a jump like that was Luis Gonzalez. Remember
like
Luis Gonzalez?
Right, personality wise, Kevin Brown fit the profile of somebody who might be using steroids because, man, he was a jerk.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
That might have something to do with it.
All right, Lindsay, was there anything in the voicemail today? We have a new voicemail number, 530-377-6710.
Yeah, there were a couple things in there, I think.
530-ESPN-710. What's that? How's that been looking, Lindsay?
I mean, we got a good amount of them. I mean, you want to just fire some of them off, bunch?
Yeah, do it.
Hey, guys. Drew from Loma Linda. I have a proposal that I've been running by my friends. And how about if on every four and out, the defense gets an automatic point? That way you can track better statistics, plus and minus, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And it spices up the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's pretty radical.
It's spicy. It is radical.
And I think more people, more teams would punt, right? Because would you get a point if you make the team punt?
Four and out. Well, he didn't say three and out.
He
said four.
I think he means three and out.
I think he means three and out also. I don't like the plan at all, Drew.
Yeah, Mason will throw out anything that is radical.
Yeah, well, I mean, you seriously are for this? You're for every time there's a three and out that the defense scores a point?
I would consider it.
I would,
but
not.
Then again, I want to start in extra innings with a runner on second base. So
here's the thing. He said his name is Drew, right?
Yeah,
Drew. Stop circulating that with your friends. That is a non-starter, my friend. Non-starter. Yeah,
I think he needs another week of pandemic to think this over.
Yeah.
That.
All right, what, Funch? What else you got?
We'll do an hour on it.
At least. 877.
Hey, Lindsay, this is Bruce in Eagle Rock. And if Major League Baseball does decide to proceed with this biosphere idea in Phoenix, will they have to make it, you know, illegal to, you know, employ the defensive shift due to physical spacing?
Oh, now that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Because of social distancing, do you have to have all the fielders stand at least six feet apart?
I'm for eliminating the shift anyway, so let's just say it's physical distancing.
I mean, but we're going to get into all that, though, you have to change the game completely because what are you going to do when you got to tag someone out, you know?
No, what are you going to do with the catcher and the batter?
I just think it's a convenient way to eliminate the defensive shift, which I hate.
And where do you put the umpire? Does the think about it? The umpire, the catcher, and the batter at every any at bat is going to be standing within 6 feet of each other. All three of them.
Isn't one of the proposals for that they'd use the robot umpire for home plate?
All right, so that takes care of that. What do you do about pitcher and catcher?
Really long gloves.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. No, I mean they're gonna have to be at a point where guys either had it or test negative.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they're going to be able to play this game. You either have to have had it and have the antibodies, or you have to test negative. I think that's the only way it works. You got to test negative in order to play. Umpires, yeah,
you can't do it like, you know, when you play like 2-on-2 in your backyard where you have like ghost runners and ghost tags and things like that.
Right.
I mean, you have to be able to play the game in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they're gonna have to look at all that stuff. All right,
get rid of the shift. I'm with him.
Okay, so Brian, what's the big plan at the Kamenetsky house tonight?
Oh, tonight is Friday, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Big Friday
That's
night.
Pizza and movie. That's a nice tradition.
Have you chosen the movie yet?
No, it's up to the kids. It's been Avengers week around the house, so we've been doing a lot of Marvel movies. So I assume it'll be some sort of Marvel movie with pizza. Excellent. We do that every Friday, regardless. Is pizza and movie. So.
Excellent.
It's not a bad existence. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Brian. Have a great weekend.
Brian.
Thank Ethan for us.
I will.
All right. And coming up next for you, Jay Ellis is going to join us. He's on the TV show Insecure, the Issa Rae show. Plus, he's in Top Gun Maverick, which is now expected to come out at Christmas, the sequel to Top Gun. He's coming on next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.